2 days later, he was regretting the quip. The thinner atmosphere was starting to take its toll. They had packed water, but it was becoming obvious that they should have packed more. Even though they were Jedi, they could not move as fast as they had expected. The Force could only augment so much for so long. Tadar Roe accompanied them, but as soon as he had taken his first formal step on the journey, he refused to speak to them. Luke and Ben, their relationship already strained, found themselves imitating him. For Luke, at least, it made the journey feel that much more difficult. They were heading east from the Angti city toward a mountain range that ran from north to south. Over the course of 3 days of hard hiking, they reached their destination, a nondescript aperture in what appeared to be a sheer wall face. Ben trudged to a halt, sweaty, his fair skin sunburned. He stared. He said nothing, perhaps because he was out of breath, but Luke could read his expression.
"Is this it?"
After keeping utter silence for the entire trek, Tadar Roe finally spoke.
"This is the passageway," he said reverently. "Inside, you will find all the artifacts we have painstakingly gathered over many thousands of years. Tread carefully, for this is sacred ground to us. Go to the relics. Be with them. Please, find answers for us that we cannot, so that we might heal this terrible rift that wounds us as a people so very deeply."
Luke was moved by the request. He placed his hand on Tadar Roe's shoulder and respectfully moved his face toward the Angtis, knowing that Tadar Roe would read his intention in the Force. Gently, like a blessing, Tadar Roe's long tongues danced over Luke's face. After a moment of looking uncomfortable, Ben imitated his father. "I hope with all my heart that we are able to do as you request," Luke said.
"May those who dwell beyond the veil grant you insight, and may the Force be with you."
Luke turned to Ben, caught his eye, and nodded. Then he turned to face the aperture and, with Ben right behind him, stepped through. A small path wound downward. It had been worn by many feet over thousands of years, so they were able to move forward with relative ease. It grew darker as they left the sunlight of the outside behind, until at last they were almost in complete darkness.
"Lightsabers or glow rods?"
Ben asked as they continued to descend, feeling their way with hands, feet, and the Force. They had discussed bringing their lightsabers with Tadar Roe, who had agreed. If a wall caved in or some other disaster occurred, they would need to be able to cut their way out. Also, as Ben had just illustrated, the illumination would be useful if the glow rods failed for any reason. Luke paused, frowning in the dark.
"Neither, I think," he said slowly.
"Huh?
Come on."
They moved forward, their eyes blind, for another few steps. Then, sure enough, the darkness began to lighten. It was only a faint glow at first, so faint as to appear almost a trick of eyes that desperately wanted to see. Then the radiance increased, soft and soothing, but illuminating. There was a luminescence in the Force as well, a comforting, reassuring warmth that bathed Luke's spirit as the light began to bathe his face and hands. He felt refreshed, even though he was physically weary from the pilgrimage, and excitement and anticipation quickened in him. They turned a corner and beheld beauty. The light came not from artificial lighting brought here by the Angti, nor from the relics that had been carried into the cave for so many millennia. Instead, it emanated from glowing stones of all hues, red, yellow, green, blue, purple, white, and all shades and gradations in between. On the floor, from stalagmites, from the stalactites that hung above them like lightsabers, on each wall, they glowed.
"Rainbows," Ben said quietly,
and Luke nodded. This was a place where the Force was extremely strong. It was not purely energy from the light side, but it was most certainly not a hollow of dark side energy such as Luke had encountered on Dagobah during the trial he had so miserably failed. He could not tell for certain, but he wondered, as Ben spoke, if this was the reason the Angti had developed their rainbow theory of the nature of the Force. Standing here, embraced indeed by its power, Luke could understand why they felt so. He took a deep breath, pulled himself back from the awe the place inspired, and said, "We're here for a purpose. Let's be about it." Ben literally shook his head to clear it, then nodded. They moved forward, through this antechamber crowded with force-imbued stones, to a second cavern. It was much larger than the first, a rectangular space about 20 by 30 meters. While this cavern, too, was illuminated by the force, that was not the primary reason for Ben's quick inhalation. Everywhere the eye looked were relics. They were stacked three or four deep in haphazard piles that looked as though they'd been simply tossed down.
"If these things are so precious to them, why do the Angti treat them so carelessly?"
Ben asked, nudging a round, apparently seamless object gently with a foot. "Because they can't touch them," Luke said. "They can't organize or arrange or catalog them in any way. They just have to bring them in here somehow, wrapped in something perhaps, and set them down."
"And we have to sort through all this?"
Ben said, his voice cracking slightly. Luke couldn't blame him. Such a task was not just daunting, but bordering on the impossible. "We don't have to compile data and analyze each one," Luke said. "But from what Tadar Rose seemed to think, we'll find answers as we handle them. Insight, knowledge that we can pass along to the Angti about what direction they should go." Ben looked slightly less pained, but still very dubious.
"How long do you think it'll take?"
"Well," Luke said, "I do have 9 years and a few months left to fill."
"That's not funny,"